Welcome back to Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 2 today, and it's feeling a bit like Christmas in here. And I don't mean like those old ladies that decorate too early and take down their Christmas decorations too late. I mean, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus today. It was Ebenezer Scrooge who said, "I shall honor the spirit of Christmas in my heart, and I aim to keep it all year." And that's the spirit. But before we're done with this chapter, I'm afraid you're going to think me a bit of a Grinch. Matthew tells us the Christmas story as it happens, not as it sells Hallmark cards and nativity sets. Let's jump right in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Okay, who are these Magi? They were astrologers, men who studied the stars, most likely from Babylon or Persia. We're never told there were three or that they were kings, but these men were wealthy, as we learn from their gifts. But the mysterious thing about them is they report seeing his star. What do they mean by his star? Well, way back in the book of Numbers, as the children of Israel were traveling through pagan lands, there was a man named Balaam, a prophet from the east, who is paid to curse the Israelites as they pass through the land. But he finds it impossible. Every time he tries to pronounce a curse on them, God puts a blessing in his mouth. And his very last one is a doozy. Here's what he says. "The oracle of the one who hears the word of God. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." He prophesied that a star would come announcing the king of Israel. But then, flash forward over 1,000 years, Daniel is taken to Babylon, the very place, the region where Balaam was from when he made this star prophecy. And there are Daniel prophecies of Jesus as well to the wise men that he was a part of. And maybe, just maybe, the Magi from the east came from that tradition. And this story, by the way, is unique to Matthew, because despite his writing for a Jewish audience, Matthew is determined to tell them that their Jewish Messiah was also the Savior of the world. The King of Israel? The King of Heaven? That sounds like good news, unless you're sitting on the throne of Israel pretending to be a Jewish king. And that is exactly what Herod was, an imposter. He'd been put into power by the Romans and given the title King of the Jews. The problem was, he wasn't a Jew. He was an Edomian or Edomite, descended from Esau, verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Herod isn't just a phony. He's also a big fat liar. He's also a murderer. He intends to pay this child a visit and pay his respects to him with a gift of a clubbing to the head. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Okay, wait. I'm sorry. My heart must be two sizes too small, because I'm about to go full Grinch on your assumptions here. Jesus is a child here, not a baby, and they're in a house. So this doesn't happen while Jesus is in the manger. Nope. In fact, we'll see it was probably about 2 years after Jesus was born before we're done. Remember when Herod wanted to know the exact time the star appeared? It probably took them time to get ready and complete that journey. We'll come back to that. But note, The wise men didn't bow to him as a king. It says they bowed down and worshiped him. This must have been awkward to this young teenage couple to be sought out, to have their baby worshiped by important men, and then to have him showered with wealth and gold because he was a king, frankincense, which was used in worship because he was God, and myrrh, an expensive burial spice, because Jesus was born to die for us. Verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And that's exactly what Herod did. Because he couldn't determine which of the male children born in the last 2 years was the king the wise men sought, he wiped them all out. All of them. But behind evil King Herod, we see the devil himself. As the book of Revelation plays this out on a cosmic level, telling us that the dragon tried to swallow up the infant child, but an eagle swept the child and his mother away. Colorful words, but in the black and white of the moment, it probably felt less than magical to Joseph. Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus would come up out of Egypt as the perfect son, whereas Israel being brought up from Egypt were the imperfect son, as Hosea had said. Hosea said this when God was disappointed with the people. But the next passage is going to tell us people were disappointed with God, particularly with Jesus. In fact, it's going to talk about him living in Nazareth, and there he'd be rejected because of it. Verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. What if I told you the statement, he will be called a Nazarene, is not a direct quote from any one prophet, but an accumulation of verses, as it said, by the prophets. You see, the root word for Nazareth is Nazar, meaning branch. And there are multiple scriptures that talk about the Messiah being a branch. So Nazar was a nickname for the Messiah. Take Isaiah 11 verse 1, the very passage where the Messiah is called the Anointed One. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Jeremiah 23 5, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Zechariah, behold the man whose name is a branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne. The imagery of Jesus, or the Messiah, being a branch is to show he grew out of the people. He seemed like one of them, but he was anointed. And there Jesus lived in Nazareth, a town in Galilee, Galilee of the Gentiles. This is why Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth, when Jesus was called Jesus of Nazareth? You see, Jesus would be despised, and Nazarene would be a term of contempt by his enemies, because Nazareth and Galilee in general were seen as a corrupt, pagan sort of place. And this not only marked his rejection, as he would be rejected and eventually crucified. Isaiah 53 would point to him as being a shoot out of dry ground, and he would be the branch that they would pluck up by the roots. His rejection started as a Nazarene, but it ended at the cross. My friends, don't reject him today, but receive him specifically, because he will accept you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.